even the one that wrote the music, B.B. Bliss, or P.P. Bliss, and read about his history. And he wrote many wonderful songs, and the last, he come to the end of his life. I'll never forget it. I thought, if you ever want the story of a love story, that was back when a lot of people rode by trains, and they went across a ravine going to revival. The train went off the track, off the bridge, into the ravine, caught on fire. He got out and crawled out, his wife trapped inside the train, on fire, couldn't get her out. And so he went back into the train, sat down beside of her, got a hold of her hand, and perished in the flames with her. That's a love story, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We won't go several places tonight. If you turn ahead of time, you can go ahead look at Acts chapter number 7 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. That's three places. Luke 23, Acts number 7, and 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, the Bible says that we that are saved, we have the Spirit of Christ. Sometimes people ask me, how are we to react when it comes to forgiveness? Tonight, I want to look at three prayers of forgiveness. Now, I want to bring about a truth out of those three prayers of forgiveness. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Some people says, well, I don't have to forgive them until they ask me to forgive them. They've never asked me to forgive them, so therefore I'm not obliged to forgive them. But I want tonight to look at the spirit of forgiveness through these three prayers. Luke chapter 23, begin reading if you would in verse number 32. Now we're going to come back to each one of these three places, so don't take your finger out of these three places. This is Jesus upon the cross. Begin reading in verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, now watch this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now think about that just a moment. Dying, looking out over the crowd that had put him to death, those that was jeering and speaking all kinds of hate, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn on over, if you would, and look in Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 57. This is Stephen, one of the first deacons. Says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon And he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now think about that. Stephen, having the same spirit that Jesus had as they were stoning him to death. Look, if you would, on over into 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, please keep your finger in each one of these places. We will be coming back. Notice if you would in verse number 14, Paul's fixing to die. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So everybody who abandoned Paul in the time of need, as he's fixing to get his head chopped off, he prayed the same spirit of forgiveness that God would not hold it to their charge. Now turn back in your Bibles, if you would, and understand to Matthew chapter 5. Keep those three places handy. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus came to not only show us how to die, he also showed us how to live. He set examples for ways that we should live, how we should conduct ourselves. There was someone, his name was Shelton. He wrote a book in his steps. I don't know if any of you have ever read that book. Anybody ever read that step in his steps? Deborah has. And he basically outlines the life of Christ. And at the end, he basically asked, are you walking in his footsteps? Are you always trying to do good? And so he brings you the question, trying to ask yourself, how are you doing in walking in Christ's steps? Now, looking back in Matthew chapter 5, we find Jesus preaching at the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, let me say this. In preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, this has come at a different time in Jesus' life. Here he is one of the most popular men in the world. People by the hundreds and thousands are flocking to him, hearing what he has to say, bringing their sick, and bringing their disease, bringing their loved ones that has devils, possessed with devils, and he's casting out devils, he's healing the sick, and he's one of the most popular people there is. Thousands upon thousands of people. And he's preaching this sermon, and he says this, why he's preaching. Notice you would in verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Man, that sounds good, but it sure is a lot harder to do when you're confronting people that hate you. They are your enemies. Now, notice Paul had that same spirit in Romans chapter 12. I know I'm running you by, and I know you're running out of fingers, but you don't have to keep your fingers in none but those three I told you. But look in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we find the same manner of spirit that Paul shares with them in verse number 19. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, in looking at this, it's always easier to say that than it is to perform it. Now turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter 23. Now Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, love your enemies. Do good to those that curse you, those that persecute you, revile upon you. But let's see if Jesus, if he practices what he preaches. Because he said, yeah, you need to do that. Some people said, well, you don't practice what you preach. Well, let's see if Jesus practiced what he preached. Look back, if you would, in chapter 23. Now he's no longer sitting upon the Mount and preaching on the Sermon on the Mount to people who flocked around him to get close to him, to hear him, to see him, to bring their sick and so forth to him. Now he has got his hands nailed to a cross, his feet nailed to the cross. He's suspended upon that cross, and he's surrounded by people that hates him. Look, if you would, back in 23, if you would, in verse 34. The Bible says that that at the end of verse 34, that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, notice in verse 35, the Bible says the rulers also with them derided him. That means they sneered at him. In verse 36, they mocked him, the soldiers. In verse 39, they railed him, means to blaspheme him. In verse 40, they rebuked him. And so here he was, surrounded by his enemies in the darkest hour of his life. And he was upon the cross of Calvary, fixing to die, hanging there. Did he fail? Notice in verse 34 what he asked for. He asked of his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want you to notice this just a second, and I want you to take note of this because this is important. Was this a conditional, now listen, a conditional or unconditional prayer? By that, I mean, do you believe that God heard his prayer? You believe God heard his prayer? You believe it was a real prayer? Were those people saved around the cross? Why? Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that forgiveness comes without the person being forgiven responding in a certain way. They have to be touched by the love of God, the redeeming love. They have to come to a place of repentance. They have to put their faith in Christ and submit to the will of God. And when they do that, then they find forgiveness of God. If you want to have forgiveness of God, you have to come by repentance unto God for your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all what? Likewise perish." In other words, repentance is a lost art and something not preached today. But to find forgiveness of the Bible said in Acts chapter 17, there was a time when at man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. So is this a conditional prayer or an unconditional prayer? Now notice Jesus prayed this with a spirit of forgiveness. "Father, forgive my enemies, for they know not what to do." Forgive them. He was totally invested in seeing God forgive them. Were they forgiven? No. Why? They didn't meet the qualifications of being forgiven and the conditions of being forgiven. Now stay with me a minute and go with me if you would Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. And also Matthew chapter number 16. Somebody said, "Well, I thought when Jesus asked God for anything, God did it." Well, there are conditional prayers and there are unconditional prayers. Conditional prayers means that there's got to be a certain thing met. Now, what happened was Jesus died upon that cross that day. He was buried 3 days and 3 nights. He was in the heart of the earth. After 3 days and 3 nights, he resurrected. 3 days. Then what happened was 40 days he walked with his disciples. Then, of course, there was 10 days until the day of Pentecost, and they were told to tarry in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost come, and it came upon them on the day of Pentecost. Now, look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 16. A lot of people get confused about this. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told Peter this, verse 16. "And Simon Peter answered," Jesus said in verse 15, he said unto them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now let me stop right there and say this. A lot of people tries to claim that the church was built upon Peter. It was not built upon Peter, but it was built upon the profession of what Peter said. He said that thou art the Christ, the Son living God. That's the truth that everyone must believe, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of living God. He wasn't a prophet. He's not a good man. He's a son of God. Okay? The Christ. Look, if you would, in verse 19. Another confusion gets people gets. And I will give, Jesus said to Peter, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And somebody said, well, then Peter was the first pope, they claim. Peter was the first one. He has all the keys to the church. Not true. What Jesus said was that he gave him the keys to open up the kingdom of God. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we find that the Holy Ghost of God fell upon them. Several things had happened there. And then in verse 14, Peter stood up and he got their attention. Notice in verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. So he began to tell them about the next few verses. He quotes some of the Old Testament for the purpose for the Holy Ghost coming. But then look on down in verse 22 for sake of time. And notice what he began to preach. He began to preach in verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now he's talking to these that have crucified and slain him and cried out, let his blood be upon us and the heads of our children. Look in verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Now notice here, if you would, that then he begins to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. How that David prophesied of it. And that it was foretelling of Jesus coming and not being left down in the grave and not being left in hell. But look on down in verse 36, again to save a little time, and notice what he begins to preach. In verse 36, Peter's still preaching. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Notice verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is come unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and that same day they were added unto them about what? 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. What happened? Jesus told Peter that you're going to have the keys and you're going to open up the kingdom. Jesus died. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. 3 days while he was in the grave, they were not forgiven. 40 days while he was with the disciples, they were not forgiven. 10 days while they're waiting for the falling of the Holy Ghost, they had not been forgiven. Then when the Holy Ghost fell, Peter stood, and then he began to preach. And he preached to these people, these Jews, that Jesus had asked his Father to forgive. And when they heard, they were pricked. And many of them began to repent. And they began to confess and put faith in Christ. And guess what happened? The Lord's prayer was answered. When the keys of the kingdom opened the door to preach the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection to these people that he looked out over, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then when they were preached and told what they had done, they were pricked and they repented. And when they repented, then they asked, they come to God, and God saved them. And they were added to the church 3,000 souls. Think about that. Now, I don't know if Stephen was there that day and heard what Jesus said. But we do know, turn on over, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. We do know that Stephen was one of the first deacons. And he not only was given the responsibility of feeding the widows, the Grecian widows, and distributing food out, but also he preached the gospel. He was a man, the Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost. And he was able to preach. And of course, when he was preaching, he was receiving a lot of criticism and bitterness from the Jews. They accused him of blaspheming Moses and God. When you look in Acts chapter number 7, or Acts chapter 6, verse number 8, he is arrested. And the Bible says in verse 11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred the people up, and the elders and scribes and so forth. And they had false witnesses in verse 13 against him. And the Bible says, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law in verse 14. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly upon him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, so here Peter was. Then in chapter 7, Peter stood up and he begins to make his defense. And he begins to go through a lot of the history of Israel. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole chapter 7, but I'm going to touch. He goes back to Abraham. He deals with the story of the patriarchs. He talks about when they descended into Egypt. He talks about the 400 years they were into Egypt captivity. Told of how they were delivered by Moses. Recited the fact that Aaron and golden calf happened. Then he talked about building the tabernacle, building the temple. And then he says, look if you would in verse 48. He said, howbeit the Most High God dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. In other words, he goes back and he's telling them that no longer is God going to dwell in temples made with hands, but that he's going to possess there. Now, notice if you would, as he concluded his message in verse 51. Now, remember, he's preaching to these Jews. These that he prayed for down in verse 60, that God would not hold the sin to their charge. He says, ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law and the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now notice verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this charge, sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. There was great persecution against the church. Now, look, turn on over, if you would, to Acts chapter number 9. So what happened was, Here Stephen was in the midst of a bunch of people that hated him. Oh, they wanted to kill him. They drug him out of the city. And they took him down there and they began to stone him and throw stones at him to kill him. And he asked that God lay not this sin to their charge. Did God forgive them? There's no record in the Bible of God ever forgiving without someone asking and meeting the qualifications. So here, again, you do not see salvation happen down in the valley where they began, or down in the place where they drug Stephen and where they began to stone him. You do not see the prayer answered. But notice if you would in chapter 9. Saul, a young man named Saul, a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, was there that day. He was the one that did this. He consented to have Stephen killed. They laid the clothes of Stephen at his feet. Saul hated the church. He persecuted the church. He thought they were blasphemous. But you know, Saul had to have an impact when he saw how Stephen died and what Stephen said. Then the Bible says later on in chapter 9, Saul was headed to Damascus. He was headed there to persecute and continue persecuting the church. He had been persecuting in Jerusalem. Now he was going out to Damascus. And what happened? Jesus met him. Look in verse 4. And he fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So here, again, was a man underneath Stephen, that as Stephen prayed, didn't seem like God had answered prayer, but guess what? When this guy saw that had consented to his death, saw that someone had great influence upon the persecution of the church, guess what happened to him? He met the Lord, put his faith in him, repented of his actions, and later on, you know the story how that he surrendered to and he preached the gospel to the whole world. Imagine that. Having someone there, and yet notice that Stephen, even though he didn't see the results immediately of forgiveness, he had the spirit to ask God to forgive anyway. Then God used his spirit to convict a guy named Saul that later on. And again, we find Paul over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He'd had this guy by the name of Alexander the coppersmith. He'd been so mean and persecuting him. Then everybody else around him had forsook him. But you know what Paul did? He had the same spirit that Christ had. And he asked that God lay it not to their charge. Does that mean they all got forgiven for what they did? No. But Paul was relieved of his responsibility because he had the spirit of Christ in him where he truly didn't want to see it against their charge. But for them to get right, they have to repent of their sin and get it right. Now turn with me one more place, and I'm going to bring it all down to a truth. Look, if you would, to Luke chapter number 17. Luke 17. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Take heed, Jesus speaking, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, what? Okay. Now, also, somebody said, well, does that mean that we rebuke them? That means that you let them know. If you have, if if you have been hurt, let them know. But do it in the right spirit. Now, let me say this. What if you have someone that's out there trying to do you harm? And they're showing no signs of forgiveness or repentance. They're showing no signs of humility, no signs of being sorry. Your responsibility is have the Spirit of Christ. Pray that God would forgive them. That clears you. If not, what you do is you sit there with this bitterness, hatred. You sit here with having a spirit that's destroying your spirit. Because all you can think about is what they did to you, maybe how they embarrassed you or how they hurt you or what they did against you, and all you want to see is revenge. That's not the Spirit of Christ. That is what will destroy your spirit. That is what will keep you up at night. That is what will not allow you to have the peace of God and peace with God. And so what you need to understand is this. What we have to do is we have to come and we have to find the Spirit of Christ. Love our enemies. I remember one time, Mark there would know who I'm talking about if I mention it, but had a guy that I had to fire. Mark worked for me. That's why he knows. He worked for me, about 20 years. Had to fire the guy. And Mark will tell you that it was a justifiable firing. The guy was bad news. But anyway, he hated us. Hated me. As a matter of fact, we picked him up one time after we fired him and he had a cardiac arrest. We resuscitated him, got him back. Going through the doors of ER, he looked at his wife. He said, call the lawyer. We're going to sue him. And all we did was resuscitate him, give him back. But I heard he was in ER. I heard he's up in ICU. And chances are he might die. And so I called and I said, I called up there and I said, I'd like to come and talk to you. I'd like to tell you about the Lord. I don't want to see you die in your lost condition. He sent some vulgar response. But I was at peace. I truly wanted to see him get right with God. I did not want to see him die in the condition that he was in. People ask me all the time, well, preacher, I don't have to forgive them until they ask me to forgive them. You are to have the Spirit of Christ. You are to ask God to forgive them and let them work at a time, hopefully, through your spirit, you will influence them to a level where maybe it might bring them to repentance before God and they might receive forgiveness of God. Your job is not to get the repentance or forgiveness of God for them. They have to get it for themselves. Your job is to find the Spirit of Christ in you to forgive them, whether or not they ever ask you to forgive them, whether or not they ever make things right with you. You are to have the Spirit where you ask God to forgive them. And hopefully somewhere along the way, something will happen in their life that will bring them to repentance. And they can then get right with God. You know, I had a guy one time went to prison. And he got out of prison. He come to me. And he said, I had a lot of bitterness because you told me the truth. And what had happened was he came here and he had done something. And he said, I lied to the judge. And he said, I can't sleep at night knowing that I lied. And if I tell the judge the truth, he said, I'm going to go to prison. He said, what should I do? I said, the truth sets you free. And he told the truth and he went to prison. And he got bitterness about it because he got 5 years. But in that 5 years, he got saved. And he come out and he told me, he said, I've never felt so free in all my life as I did in prison after Jesus set me free. He said, I finally found sleep at night. And he said, I want to thank you. He said, I had a lot of bitterness against you, but he said, you know, he said, because you told me the truth, but he said, you know, the truth set me free. Now listen to me, one more thing. What if you have the one that's injured somebody else? You need to go to that person. And you need to ask for forgiveness. You say, well, I'm waiting for them. Is that the Spirit of Christ? What is the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ is to be peacemakers. And listen, you'll never, if you have wronged somebody, you'll never have peace until you make it right. And then you can find forgiveness. Remember where Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father, which is heaven, will not forgive you? We've got to, and remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, that we are to forgive others because God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. You've got to have the Spirit of forgiveness. You say, well, what if they never do? Make it right. Then vengeance is God's. Let him deal with it. It's not yours. But don't destroy your spirit, because the Bible says that if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are not his. So each of us needs to find that Spirit of Christ, those of us who are saved, within us to be able to forgive. You say, man, it's not easy to forgive that person. I imagine it's probably as easy to forgive that person as it was for Jesus to forgive all that crowd that was jeering and hollering at him and nailed him to the cross. Probably as easy it was to forgive that person as it was for Stephen to look out over the crowd that had just stoned him and was stoning him to death. Probably just as easy for him. Probably just as easy as it was for Paul being sitting in prison, cold and hungry, and everybody that he knew forsook him and left him there. You probably got it within you if you just find. But the Spirit of Christ will set you free when you have and looking for the Spirit of forgiveness. We need to follow his steps and find the peace. Don't you imagine Jesus died with peace with the crowd? Don't you imagine Stephen died having peace with the crowd he looked at? He did the right thing. Paul got his head chopped off right after he said this. Imagine he died. We need to do what's right in those situations. Amen. Let's stand tonight. You know, the Bible says that sometimes we can have a root of bitterness in the book of Hebrews. We get a root of bitterness in our life because we won't have that spirit of forgiveness. Or maybe we don't ask someone to forgive when we need to ask somebody to forgive. You might be surprised how it might impact somebody if you go to them and you wrong them in some way, and you go to them and say, listen, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And you might be surprised what that does for your spirit as well. Amen. Let's sing, brother.